Are you ready to continue in our series, the Renew series? We're nearing the end of this. I know that's kind of the fateful words that we tend to not trust of a speaker when they say you're nearing the end of anything, right? But we're nearing the end of the series. We have several more biblical topics we're going to look at from God's Word, but this morning we're going to look at the body as God's Word tells us about the body. That's our body, not just the body of Christ, universal, made up of many believers. Folks, I'm talking about the physical body that God has created. Every aspect of our body, God considers and says is His earthly temple, His dwelling place within every born-again believer. So that is to say that those who have been redeemed are not their own. Christian, you are not your own. Your life is on loan. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We have been purchased. And as Christians, being purchased by God, He dwells within us from the very moment of salvation. We need to understand this. We need to have our minds renewed on this. We need to be refreshed and think biblically. We need to think about this. Sort of the overview of the series, having our minds renewed in this Renew Bible series on Sunday morning, sermon series, often reminding you that we need to allow, as believers, allow the Word of God to renew our mind as we seek to love Him and honor Him with every area of our life. That's what God calls us to do. That's what our exposure to God and His Word, being born again and coming to know God and love Him more, draws us to do, to live for Him in a worship of our lives, including the individual specific aspect of how we treat our bodies, how we use our bodies, what we take into our bodies, what we do with our bodies, how we view our bodies, how we treat other bodies, all in accordance to God's Word. Christians, we belong to God. We truly do. We live under His rule, and our supreme goal and endeavor in life for the Christian is to glorify God. And so as we pursue glorifying God in Him in all areas of our lives, we come to grips with understanding that in this unique area we'll look at this morning from 1 Corinthians, it includes glorifying God with even our bodies. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. Will you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. We'll look at several texts. This will be the primary text, 1 Corinthians. And as you're turning there, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, I also have the words on the screen this morning. I'm going to invite you to read the passage together with me. You may remain seated, but we're going to read together two verses, 19 and 20. And maybe in some ways, not only out of reverence and respect for God's Word, but may as we audibly read this together, hear other believers, the church reading this together, maybe it will resonate a bit more and stick into our heads a little bit more as we consider this is God's Word for you, for me. Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Let's read together. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Dear folks, this morning, we're going to see from this text of Scripture, as well as the whole, the principle of the whole of Scripture for us, that my physical body, insert your name there, my physical body is my concrete means to service for God. God has intended, maybe say it another way, God has intended in His design and His purpose of your physical body to bring glory to God in how we treat it, how we use it, and how we view it. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get any further. Heavenly Father, we are here this morning and gathered as your church. We've gathered around the Lord's table. We've recognized that Jesus' body was given as a sacrifice for our salvation. We're going to recognize and soon see even more how the Scriptures show us that you have designed our bodies with a perfect purpose and to bring glory to you. And so, Lord, we really need to think carefully. We recognize we need to think biblically. We need the Word of God to renew our minds so that we are thinking about our bodies the way that you think about our bodies. Guide us, Lord, this morning. I pray that hearts would be softened, attentive, willing, and listening to apply, making changes in our lives that glorify you out of love and honor for you. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You see the big idea, and that is this: my physical body is my concrete means for service to the Lord. And so with that understanding, it calls us to action to really view our bodies correctly, biblically. So a biblical understanding of the human body will help us shape our care and our treatment of our body. So we need that biblical view. We always come to the Scriptures. The Scriptures is what we live by. It's how we know how to live. And so we come to the Scriptures, and let's look at the Bible and see God's view of the human body. Firstly, this morning, we see, number one, that God's creation and redemption of our bodies. Understanding those two realities helps us develop a biblically foundational perspective and view of our bodies. God's creation, and then also His redemption of our body. Speaking to believers this morning, you know, when God created male and female, let's think back to the very beginning again. When God created male and female, Adam and Eve, He declared that what He had made was very good. Because everything God does is good. Amen? This is His character. He can do nothing else. It looks harsh to us. There's judgment, so on and so forth. But the Bible teaches us that whatever God does is good. And so we can trust Him in that. We see that God created man and woman. It was good. He declared it very good in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. He provided for the physical needs of the first couple through the vegetation of the garden, the provision of the garden that He had created. He provided for the needs in Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9. We're reminded of this. However, when man chose to sin, beginning with when Eve stepped out from underneath the headship of man and chose to sin, and then man also chose to sin along with woman, all of the human race has inherited the sin and the results of that sin. Even the beautiful babies born into sin in what seems to be their innocence. So sin entered the world. And the terrible state of sin with all of its devastating consequences befell on all mankind. Disease, deterioration, death, the body breaking down, the fleshly desires to rebel against God. That's who we once were, as rebels against God. Not just lost, avoiding salvation, but absolutely rebelling and defying God. All of these things came as sin entered the world. All the effects of sin and disease, deterioration, death descended on man. And all of these things exemplified the terrible price of disobedience throughout the ages. Sounds awful, doesn't it? This is important understanding the reality of what God views our bodies like and what His plan is for our bodies. The good news, as we were reminded around the Lord's table this morning, is that in spite of the curse of death upon the whole world, there's Jesus Christ. There's grace. Christ's death on the cross made it possible for believers' bodies to be changed one day into, get this, immortal bodies. We know about this. We read 1 Corinthians 15, the latter part of that, verses 50 all the way to the end of the chapter. We can go to Philippians, we can go to 1 Thessalonians and read about the rapture of the church and the glorified bodies and how that our bodies currently in the state they're in are not designed for all of eternity. Although God is not finished with them, our bodies will be redesigned. The Bible uses the term glorified one day, prepared for all of eternity to live in eternity with Him. These things are coming. You can read Philippians 3, 20 and 21, passages throughout the New Testament. We have been bought with a price, though. This is key in understanding God's intentions for the body. Christian, we mustn't forget, and this is why one of the reasons we gather around the Lord's table, we have been purchased by the very blood of Jesus Christ. We have been bought back. This is what embodies the definition of the term redeemed. If I can keep my mic from falling off here. You should try wearing one of these on your ear one day. It's rather annoying. If you wear it enough, it's kind of like a pair of glasses on your head that you forget where you placed them. You know, you're searching around the house and there. Then there's other times the wire just sticks and it really distracts you. But I'm going to pray for attention here. No more distraction, all right? We think about the Lord's table and it reminds us of what redemption really means, okay? So redemption is to buy back. Something that once was yours has been taken, and so then you pay a price and you buy it back. It's mine again. We have been redeemed. God created us. So let me summarize what we've just been talking about in the creation and redemption of our bodies. We were created perfect. Then we sinned. There's a problem now. We have had a relationship broken with God, a relationship broken with others. But then in God's decree and plan, long before creation even took place, since before time we ever knew it, God has designed and purposed and planned for Jesus to come. And he comes bodily in the flesh, gives of his life, sacrifices his blood to pay for that sin and purchases us back so that we have that restored relationship with Jesus only through salvation. You see, that's what this redemption is, this purchasing of the blood. Only the blood of Christ could pay for the penalty of sin. And Jesus has done that. Your body is not your own. Your life is on loan, has been the theme of the last several messages. Whether it comes to whether it be stewardship or how we take care of our bodies, which is also stewardship, our life is not our own. Our life is on loan. And so God was interested, we can see from Genesis till now, from Genesis until the death of Christ, we can see that God was interested not only in creating the human body, but in redeeming it for all of eternity. This is God's plan and intention for the human body. But we also see, secondly, that God's purpose and plan for the body, God reveals that to us, his purpose and plan for the body. Until our bodies are made brand new, like I referenced and God's word tells us will take place at Christ's coming, until then, we must determine what God's purpose is for our bodies. So we get into it a little bit deeper here as we look at our text in 1 Corinthians 6 and in primarily verse 20 for a moment. We see God's purpose for our bodies. Paul is writing to the Christian Corinthians who were getting a lot of things messed up. They were sinful people, just like you and I. But they were adapting the cultural norms, the things that the Greeks and the Gnostics were telling them, and the heretical practices about body and life and flesh and desire and gratifying, all these things. And they were taking this and they were thinking, man, we've been born again, we're free, we live not under the law anymore, we have liberty, so let's go live like the world because, after all, we're not going to live forever. God will give us brand new bodies. So let's, treating them with care is not all that important. We've been freed. And Paul writes and he says, no, you silly Christians. No, this is not what God's intention was for your body. And he writes to them in chapter 6 and verse 20, and he says, for ye are bought with a price. A high cost has been paid for your bodies, for you. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Not just in our service, not just in our worship, but physically and practically with our bodies, bring glory to God in your spirit, which is in God. In our spirit and our body. He could have just said spirit. He could have just said heart. He could have just said mind. But he says, no, our body and our spirit. And then he punctuates it, comes back and says, which is God's. It is not your own. Like the world screams at it, isn't it? You deserve this. You can do this. Pamper yourself. Do these. It doesn't mean that you can't take care of yourself, rest and relax, and so on and so forth. But the world screams, feed the flesh. Give the flesh what the flesh wants, whatever the cost. God's word says, no, that body that you think is yours, you're so possessive of, it's mine. So enjoy the life I've given you, but bring glory to God even with your body. We need to think biblically about this. So 1 Corinthians 6:20 answers the question, what is the purpose of the physical body? And God's creating the physical body. Every part of our being is to glorify God, and this includes our body. The world today often cries out, even in one area, not to pick on women only, this includes men, but we even hear in the world today, it's not my body. It's a cry. of the women's movement today. Or excuse me, it is my body. I can do what I want with my body, rather. And this comes into play when we think about the murderous slaughtering of unborn babies. It's my body. I can do what I want with it. No one else can tell me what to do with my body. Men, it's the same for us. I can do what I want. I want to please myself. I want to satisfy myself. I have needs. This is what I want to do. It's my body. You can't tell me. And Paul writes to them. He says, Christians, what are you doing? And he goes on really later in context, before and after, and he says, I know exactly what you're doing. You're thinking like the world, but you've been saved out of the world. And Jesus is teaching that this is his body, not yours. He has purchased it. So treat it as it would be treated to bring glory to God. You're not your own. Your life and your body is on loan. And so as the sacred house of God, we should not seek to engage in immorality. Folks, if we took more time and read all of chapter 6, talks about lawsuits among the brethren, glorifying God with our bodies, and he speaks to them. And here, let me paint you a little picture very quickly. In Corinth, the believers were nestled right in the middle of some of the most sexually immoral culture that existed in first century. Amongst the Greeks, the temple up on the rocks, if they looked up high and they see the outcropping, they would see the temple where there would be forms of worship that were expected to involve the sexual immorality, the gratification of the flesh. And it's constantly pounded into their minds that this is normal, this is what you can do. The Gnostics and the Greeks believed that the human, the physical and the spiritual were separate things, and that God didn't necessarily create the physical things. It's just the spiritual things is important that is important to God. So therefore, doing anything in the flesh, it doesn't really matter forever. This body's going to go away, and it'll be buried, and the Lord's done with it, so you can do whatever you want. And Paul says, no. God has created your body even to glorify him. And so we see this here. What is the purpose of the body? To bring glory to God. To avoid immorality. To flee sexual sin is the context of the passage here, really. And when devoted to the Lord, the body can be used effectively for his service. So rather than being involved in sin and submitting our body to the fleshly desires that are sinful and contrary to God's word outside of marriage and whatever else it may be too, beyond sexual sin, when our body is viewed correctly and treated correctly, it can be used effectively for the Lord's service. Let me just present to you offer to you two ways to consider how, two opposite ends of the spectrum. I'm not going to paint the picture for every little thing here, but let me give you at least two ways we can see, two extremes in which the body and its treatment is viewed throughout society and even history. Number one is the denying of the body. Denying of the body. That's this idea that Paul addressed in Colossians. And in preparation, you can turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Let me share that passage with you. Colossians chapter 2, we'll look at verses 20 through 23 here in a moment. But when it comes to devoting our bodies to God, some call for extremes. Are you that kind of person? There's people that are like that sometimes that will just, you know, oh, well, God wants us to live for the glory of God. It means I'm going to put away anything and everything that distracts me. I'm going to live like a monk. I'm going to shave my head. I'm going to change my clothing. And I'm going to live in accordance to whatever I think it is to gain God's merit. Pardon me, this wire is just ridiculous here. There we go. No more distraction. That feels better. Two extremes. Sometimes we call it the pendulum response, the knee-jerk response. You know, oh, there's this, and I shouldn't do that, so I'm going to swing way over here, and I'm going to have an extreme response. So the first extreme response on one end of the pendulum swing would be denying the body, to go about some form of extreme dietary control, even to the point of neglecting one's body, so that there's physical harm even caused to the body in this withholding and trying to develop this closeness to God, this devout living by denying the body's fleshly appetites and needs. And this isn't anything new. This has gone on throughout history. The Christians in Corinth as well as in Colossae, as Paul is writing to them in Colossians, knew exactly what was going on. And this is why Paul wrote to them. They're being confused by the culture. And what this denying the body is called is this asceticism. This idea of which is in general is a practice of strict denial as a means of attaining a higher spiritual position with God or plane. But should this be the practice of all Christians? Paul says no. He says it very sharply. Look at Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23. And just follow along as I read here. He's writing to the Christians who are thinking that they deny themselves of everything to be closer to God. And he says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as through living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Okay. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. After the commandments and the doctrines of men? Goes on in verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. He says, if God has made the world, he's created the things in the world that you are to consume in moderation and right perspective. He's created a body to have a hunger, a desire for pleasure, a desire for all these things. And God's created in the right bounds and right places. These things can be good in moderation. Why are you denying the very things that God has created for you and created your body to use and utilize and partake in? Why would you do that? Paul is saying. So here in his letter to the Colossians, he addressed a heretical teaching of the Gnostics of the day. And the Gnostics, who believed that all matter was inherently evil and not a direct creation to God, the Gnostics taught that all contact with matter should be reduced to a minimum. So there's like two different teachings here going on. The Greeks in Corinth taught, oh, you can do whatever, it doesn't really matter because it's a spirit that's important. And then here in Colossae, Paul writes to another group of Christians who were being confused and tempted by the culture that was unbiblical. And the Gnostics are saying, you need to stay away from everything that's impure so that you can maintain purity. Don't gratify anything in the flesh. And if you deprave yourself of anything, then you will become on a higher spiritual plane. That's what the Gnostics were teaching them. And some of those Christians were swallowing that. They're being subdued by this. This was thought to be accomplished by living on a spare diet, abstaining from marriage, and the physical relationship would happen in marriage. If we can just abstain from all these things. But Paul pointed out the errors of this heretical teaching. Let me give you the three quick errors in the text we just read. Firstly, Paul rules strictly limiting the diet having their origin in man, not of God. That's what he says in verse 22. These are not commandments and doctrines of God. No, he says, they're the commandments and doctrines of men. Have you been called to follow man's commandments or God's commandments? That's the number one error he points out. The number two error he points out, as we just read, is those who use asceticism as a means of honoring God are actually, in effect, guilty of harming their very bodies that God had created. In that process of denial. Verse 23. And the Bible, by the way, folks, never suggests that Christians should seek to harm our bodies or seek out pain as a salvific or a form of repentant act. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach us that. Thirdly, point out Colossians 2, 20 through 23, we see Paul pointing out the error here, and he says, to treat the body with severity has no value in denying the flesh. Verse 23, no amount of austerity can earn salvation to merit of God's love or his grace. Do you remember Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9? For it is all by grace, it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not of works, nothing that man can boast of. This is this idea of denying the body. That's one extreme. Here's the other extreme. Let's swing hard the other way and look at the other end. And then you, in prayerful evaluation for the Lord, can find out where maybe you might be most guilty of being tempted in. The other end of the spectrum is just idolizing the body. That seems to be more the trend today, right now, in Western American culture, isn't it? Idolizing the body. The health of the body. The strength of the body, all for what? The pleasure and the beauty of the body. Here we see the other end, idolizing the body. In contrast to the aesthetic view is the one who advocates for the body to be idolized, to be pampered, to be pleased, to be satisfied, and its appetites to be fulfilled to the max. This is actually a hedonistic type of philosophy. Connections to a hedonistic type of view and the idea that it is that we are to live life to its fullest for the pure end goal of being satisfied in the enjoyment that we live. Theologian and preacher John Piper oftentimes will admit that this isn't complete and admits correctly the cautions to be considered in this type of hedonistic view, but it's this idea of a person is best satisfied when they are most satisfied in God, and that God calls the highest calling for man is to just be satisfied in Him. And I believe that there's errors in that idea to even consider in that way. It's a hedonistic philosophy. It's rampant today. And when the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 14, fearfully and wonderfully made in reference to us, he was surely led to use those words to describe our body as being a miracle beyond our human comprehension. Amen? But while the body should be appreciated for all God has done in forming it, the body should not be the object of worship, nor should it be the focal point of fulfillment. This is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in Colossians chapter 2. We see this in the Old Testament and throughout the rest of the New Testament, that it is not our body that is the focus, it is God the focus, and our body becomes the catalyst in which through proper stewardship we can effectively serve God as we view our bodies biblically as God views them. According to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, it isn't possible to separate the body from the spirit. It isn't possible to separate the body from the mind, the soul, and any of the spiritual aspect of man. Rather, we are commanded, Mark 12, 30, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Every aspect of our being is included. And so this command of God requires us to give ourselves totally to its fulfillment. Mark 12, 30 calls us to give ourselves totally to God and completely in order to fulfill its calling. And it includes our body. It includes our physical body. Whether we idolize a body or we neglect it, either end of the extreme, both fall short of God's plan for the body at their extremes. So we need to find a balance, and we understand this. And so lastly, we come to see that our body, in fact, indeed, dear Christian, is the dwelling place of God. It is the temple of God. Kids, there isn't a little building inside your body like you see in the picture here. But it helps us understand that this is the dwelling place of God within the believer, the born-again believer. Another part of God's purpose for the Christian's body is that it is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit. And so instructing the Christians in Corinth to flee sexual immorality, the Apostle Paul exhorted them when he said in our passage, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Therefore," the teaching calls for, "honor God with your body." 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. So indeed, God the Father created our bodies. God the Son redeemed them, and God the Holy Spirit dwells within them. This makes our body the very temple of God, the dwelling place of God. And since God, the Holy Spirit, resides in us, we are to honor God with our bodies as they are, as Paul said, not our own. We've indeed been bought with a price. Let me put your finger in Corinthians and come over to 1 Peter. If you have electronic devices, much easier. But just come over to 1 Peter for a moment and notice a passage here. 1 Peter 1. 18 through 19, and let us be reminded of the great price that was paid. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, for your vain conversation received you by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, 1 Peter 1. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I think sometimes as Christians we forget that, don't we? So I don't forget that. I know that. It's in the Bible, but your life may show otherwise. The treatment of your body shows otherwise. And we need to remember. It's one of the reasons we gather around the Lord's table to remember. We have been bought with the high price of Jesus' blood. He has died for us, for our bodies, for his creation. And therefore, we honor God with our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23 says, you're bought with a price. We know what that price is. And so as temples of God, Christians' bodies should be used to glorify God. They are not separate from our heart, from our mind, our spirit being. Now, I want you to notice the use of the word. Back in our passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice the usage of the word here, the temple. Temple meaning the inner sanctuary. Verse 19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? If God wanted to simply convey the idea that the Spirit lives within the believer, the Holy Spirit, that is, he could have very well used the word home, house, residence. But the unique choice of the Holy Spirit to use the word here, as Paul has penned them, temple, by choosing the word temple to describe the Spirit's dwelling, there's a thought that is conveyed here that will help you as we view our bodies. The thought that is being conveyed is the idea that our bodies are the inner sanctuary or the sacred place in which the Spirit not only lives, but is worshipped, revered, and honored. A set aside, special temple of the Holy Ghost. This ought to elevate our view and our treatment of our bodies, the dwelling place of the Lord, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, how we behave, Christians, how we think, how we speak, how we interact, how we conduct, how we purchase, how we buy, how we sell, how we live, how we work, how we drive, every which way of our life, everything we do, in the spirit form and the physical form, is to bring glory to God out of worshipful service to him as we honor him. It's important for us to see these things, to understand these things. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, even though the Holy Spirit will never leave us, it is entirely possible for us to, Paul uses the term, to grieve the Holy Spirit. Kids, it's kind of like when mom and dad say, don't do this or don't do that. And you're like, come on, please, please. Do we have to? Or, I don't know, they're not looking for a minute, so maybe I can just do this. And maybe they'll forgive me because they're busy talking about somebody else on the phone. I've never done that as a kid before, right? It's grieving mom and dad. Paul tells all Christians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32, Paul writes to them, he instructs the Ephesians to not grieve the Holy Spirit, and he told them, let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and all clamor and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Folks, living by the Spirit means to no longer gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We don't live to fulfill the desires of the sinful nature and lust, Galatians 5:16, the fruit of the Spirit. Christians, we are rather called to abstain from whatever defiles God's temple. And I could have sat here this morning and given you a whole list of things that are defiling. They're giving you a whole list of things you shouldn't do and things you should do. And my goal this morning was to lay the foundation of God's view of the body. Because I think you will be better equipped if you are reminded of how we are to view God's body that he created and that he redeemed and that he calls for us to live for, use it for his glory, and it is the dwelling place, the temple of God. For when we know those things to be true, then those realities become the measuring stick on every other choice and action in life. And so it would be a biblical practice. It would be a good practice for us to stop and think, will this action, will this food, will this drink, will this item, will this conversation, will this music, will this movie, will this entertainment, whatever it might be, will this use of my body glorify God? For he resides here and he sees all things. God has created us for his glory. Let us live to that end. It is his temple. Dear friends, those of who do not belong to Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning, you know for a fact, I'm not a born-again Christian. I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. You do not have the Spirit of God residing within you. That's what God's Word says. You do not have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you, Romans 8, 9. Which means that your body is not the temple of the Holy Spirit. So then what is the correct response? The response is by the persuasion and conviction of the Holy Spirit to turn to him for salvation and make your body the temple of God by receiving the Holy Ghost through salvation. This is done by repenting of sin, placing full faith and complete trust in Jesus Christ alone as the only means of forgiveness and salvation from God's righteous and holy, just wrath on sin. The moment this is done, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit takes place. Christians, our bodies have been created for God's glory. And this morning we revisited and we've allowed, given opportunity for the Word of God to renew our thinking concerning the view of the human body. And a right response would be to desire to take care of your body. For God created and redeemed your body for his purposes. And our body is the temple of God. This is what God has called us and has given us in his word to view. Have you been viewing your body that way? Have you been seeking to give the right amount of rest and the right amount of care and seeking to make healthy decisions and choices, physically speaking, that honor God? Choosing when and how the activities you're involved in, because your body is a concrete way of service to God. Not swinging hard one way or the other. Denying our body of all fleshly appetites so that physical fleshly appetites, so it becomes harmful. And not swinging hard the other way that we're just going to enjoy anything and everything in life because this body won't last. No, not either one of those extremes. But seeking to strike a balance in glorifying God with our body. In all areas of care for our bodies, the key, may I suggest to you, is discipline. Discipline. We cannot get by without it in our spiritual lives, nor can we get by without it in pursuing our physical health for the glory of God. Paul testified this in 1 Corinthians 9:27, and we'll close. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul understood that the treatment and use of his body was important to God. Your body's a gift. It is not your own. It is on loan. Let's purpose and endeavor to use it for his glory in the coming days ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we have been bought by Jesus' precious blood, your Son. Lord, we understand that we are yours, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us from the moment of salvation. And so, Lord, we thank you for redeeming us and creating us with the purpose of glorifying you. Thank you for your word that, that renews our mind as we love and honor you with every area of our lives, including with our bodies, which are your temple. Lord, strengthen us in these endeavors. Encourage this congregation to take a close examination of the treatment and use of our bodies. And may we live and strive and make decisions and participate in activities that bring glory and honor to you. Help us to exercise good discipline and making healthy choices and caring for our physical bodies that you've created and redeemed, because it is the concrete form of our service to you, our concrete catalyst of service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.